Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone. Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on Friday's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and haven't we had an amazing week this week? We've had so many new guests. We've met some returning guests. We've laughed. We've learned. We have given away offers, given away free downloads. So much that we've done this week. But we have another incredible show for you today. And if you've enjoyed the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday show, you're going to love my Friday show, because I always tell the viewers, I haven't told the guests, but I always tell the viewers, there are two shows you do not want to be on. That's my Monday show and my Friday show. Monday, I've had way too much sleep. Fridays, I haven't had enough sleep. So there's absolutely no telling what I'm going to say, what I'm going to ask, if I can even remember my name. But you know what that guarantees? That guarantees that it's going to be fun and it's going to be interesting. So I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do. And that is to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. There's someone that you know that needs this information, and they won't know this information unless you go ahead and share it with them. So tweet it, text it, post it, whatever you have to do. But like I always say, friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So while you're going ahead and introducing the show to your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our very first guest. It's Mr. Kurt Bodenstedt. Mr. Kurt obtained his master's degree in chemistry with a focus on organic and analytical chemistry, currently pursuing a PhD in organic chemistry, utilizing organic synthesis techniques while focusing on solar cells and organic light emitting diode materials and devices. As a teaching associate and researcher for the past 7 years, he has experience in teaching laboratory courses for Intro to Chemistry, General Chemistry 1, General Chemistry 2, Chemistry for Non-Majors, and Inorganic Chemistry. Good morning, Kurt. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for the kind introduction. So what I'm passionate about is teaching. And to expand upon this, I was able to create our company, Pedafl, so personal digital assistant for learning. Now, what this is a science, technology, engineering, and mathematics platform. So we are going to create apps for these fields. Now, what we want to do is we want to make it an interactive and immersive environment for the students. Now, have you guys taken any online courses or hybrid courses in the past?
Yes, I went to the university online.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
So how have your experiences been with these online courses?
I love them personally.
Okay, so how would you say they're structured? Would you say there's videos, maybe a discussion between people, and maybe a survey at the end?
Yeah, there's a bit of that sometimes, yeah, a mix, depending on the course.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you feel engaged with that setup? Or would you like some more interaction with the topics, more practice, or just more fun with these?
Well, I felt like I needed more fun. Not only more fun, but I needed, like you said, the interaction. That's why I do shows like the Roundtable Talk Show. My attention span is very short. It's very minimal. And so for me to just read questions in a forum and then I watch the video by myself, that was not very entertaining. And people always tell me, Sharifa, life is not always going to be entertaining. But in Sharifa world, it is.
Correct. So what we did is we basically took the three styles of learning, your audio, your visual, and your tactile sense, and we wanted to incorporate these into our technology. Now, we are cross-platform capable. So that means whether you have an iPhone, Android, or web, you could use this app. And we also have it in the App Store. Now, what would you say is one of the hardest courses in college right now?
Biology. But I think that's down your alley. I think you're good at that.
I know a lot of persons struggle with math.
Yeah.
The numbers, those number subjects.
Yeah, well, one of the toughest courses is organic chemistry. And this is what we wanted to focus our first initial project.
Baby. Baby smart.
Yeah. Yeah, so this course for many of the STEM fields is a requirement. So all of your dentists, all your doctors, your pre-meds, and your science degrees focus on this course. And this is the make or break course for many of our students. And we want to make sure that they are increasing their ability to pass this course. Now, what we want to do to offer them is we want to give them practice, and we want to give them as many options to take different looks at the same material. So what we're offering in addition to our videos is we have games. We have developed platforms for education-based games. We have memory games, we have drag and drops, we have sequences, which are your traditional, here's your organic, here's your question, put them in the right order to give you a sense of tactility. But then we took it a step further and we've made platforming games. So if you think of Mario, so instead of going for gold coins, we're going to be going for organic molecules so that you can learn by playing those type of games. And we also have a mobile-friendly follow the reagents game, which is also available. And that basically takes your Fruit Ninja, where you have a chemical equation at the top and you have to correctly grab the right reagents which are falling down. And hopefully you will engage and learn from that. In addition, one of the hardest things about organic chemistry is the ability to discern spatial awareness. Now, what we have done to engage our students with that is we've embedded a 3D modeling system into so you could actually build out the molecules instead of guessing A, B, C, or D. Now, in organic chemistry, we have what's called synthesis pathways. So basically you have to go from A to B to C to D. And what we want to do is we want to show you each of the intermediate steps so that you could follow along the path with us to get the right answer. And when you get the right answer, it'll light up giving you positive reinforcement. And to further take that, the spatial reasoning, we have 3D modeling. So we take the 2D that's on the page and turn it into like an AR simulation where you could move the molecules around and then get some more data from that.
Wow, that was very interesting, Kurt. Let me tell you something. I've hosted this show for over a year, or almost a year. I've done over 200 episodes. I've had people come in, sing songs, dance, do jokes, write poetry, and even make presentations. I have never had anyone turn their introduction into participation. I think that's a gift, Kurt. The asking your questions, I was able to learn a lot from you. I am going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Miss Bailey Thibodeau. She is a professional hype woman and visionary, helping ambitious entrepreneurs everywhere to grow, build the brand and life of their dreams through purposeful design. Good morning, Bailey. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. And after hearing my introduction, I probably should have gone after Kurt. I don't sound as qualified to be on here.
You are qualified. You are. Everybody is amazing. Everybody's wonderful. Everybody says that. They're like, wow, these other guests are amazing. And then there's me. You are amazing. You are wonderful. When I read your bio and it said you were a hype woman, you didn't know that I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, right? So when we say hype people or hype man, hype woman, there's a different connotation. So I was like, and then I kept reading. I was like, okay, I kind of explain it, Bailey. Tell us about yourself.
Okay, yeah. So I'll tell you a little bit more. My professional hype woman background, I guess, came from my sports background. I played sports my entire life. And I actually, through college, it's difficult to just go into college and start playing and be automatically mm-hmm. the starter. So I learned very quickly how to be the best and biggest cheerleader ever. And so I feel like that was already kind of in me throughout my whole life, is that burst of energy. But now, especially through college, I learned how to be the biggest cheerleader and motivational speaker, I feel like. And so now it's transitioning more out of, since I'm done with sports now, it's more into the business world and helping encourage people that have all these ideas and they're scared to start, or they don't know where to start or how to do it because they're scared of what people will think. I'm here to hype them up, as I like to say, and I encourage them to go for their goals and take those chances and, you know, start and actually start making progress towards what they're wanting to do.
Yeah, I like that. That makes a lot more sense, because in my mind, I was picturing Bailey on the back of a stage in back of a rapper going, go, 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 go.
I do that, but I do that for the business owners. So kind of close.
It is. I say the same thing. I'm a business consultant and people are like, what do you do exactly? I'm like, I'm a cheerleader. I cheerlead. That's what I do. Yeah. For so many entrepreneurs, we feel alone, especially when you have people in your immediate circle, your family, maybe a spouse. I was divorced twice, and a lot of it came down to my entrepreneurial spirit. You know, when people around you don't understand or don't believe in your vision, I always say, God didn't give them your vision. God gave it to you. So you're the only one who can see it. So as a consultant, I'm just there to cheer them along. If you see it, I believe you see it. So we see it, let's do it. So I understand, Bailey.
Yeah, I love that. And then with that too, so basically, like, that's the first part, I guess, of what I do. And that's nothing that I don't even make the money off of that. That's just, I like being a part of the startup business process. Like, it's so exciting to me. That's where I have my passion, is getting these businesses. Like, I see the passion in somebody's eyes whenever they have an idea and what they want, and they can see what their life would look like if they were able to execute it. And so I help them get to that point to where they're ready to jump in and actually start their business. And then what I do for, like, to make the money is the branding and website design part of that. And so I help them bring their vision to life through a brand that speaks with their ideal audience. I help them map out, figure out who their ideal audience is, and then create a brand that speaks to that. And then a website to back it up that's not only beautiful and look and appeal, but also functional. And so gets those visitors to convert into customers.
I agree with you. I'm going to go with you at 99%, Bailey, but I'm going to top it off a little bit. I'll put some whipped cream and a cherry on top of your whole vision. Everything you do from start to finish is cheerleading and being a hype woman, because if you weren't such an amazing, excellent hype woman, you would never get to the website design. You would never get to that. So it's all a part of making the money and getting it in, because I can tell you, they fall in love with your energy and your hype-ness. You know what I mean?
But right, that's what they're going to make it a word today.
We're going to make it a word today. Your hype-ness is what brings them in the door. So yes, Bailey, you are very interesting. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, the amazing Miss Kirsha Campbell. When business owners find their businesses in financial chaos and are serious to take the leap to say hello to cash flow, and more, they reach out to Kirsha Campbell, the cash flow maven. As CPA, CMA, Kirsha integrates all the moving parts in your business to set up the right foundation to be recession-proof, operate with reduced risk, increase cash flow, set up effective systems and procedures, and so much more. Kirsha helps business owners to say goodbye to overwhelm, stress, and frustration about their business results and operation. Good morning, Kirsha. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. And thank you so much for having me on this show. I'm pretty excited to be here this morning.
I am pretty excited to have you here. I love the accent. Where's the accent from?
Jamaica.
Ooh, I heard it. I like that.
Island girl.
Can I come hang out in the islands? I know you're in Canada now, but whenever you go back to the islands and visit somebody, I just finished Sneaky Pete, by the way. So I'm gonna be your long lost cousin. Okay. I'm gonna go with you.
Sounds like a great plan.
I told y'all it was Friday. I already told y'all at the beginning of this. Kirsha, who are you? What do you do? And what are you passionate about?
So you might have heard the term a business went bankrupt overnight. I'm sure a lot of persons have heard that. So that is one of the myths I'm on a drive to dispel, because a business never goes bankrupt overnight. There are always signs that are there signs that are missed or ignored? And I realized that having my background in corporate, that a lot of business owners struggle with, you know, understanding the moving parts in their business. So I focus on helping business owners to scale their cash flow by implementing those effective financial systems. And that can look different for every business. Every business is different. It depends on where you're at, what are the dynamics playing in your business as well. And another thing I do find is that as business owners, there's that mix of where it comes to profit and cash flow, thinking it's the same thing. They are two different things. And if your business doesn't have cash flow, you will never survive. It's like the lifeblood of the business. So my passion is helping business owners to understand that every decision that is made in your business will eventually be impacting your cash flow. So it's understanding all the moving parts, the dynamics, and ensuring that all the dots are, you know, intertwined so that ultimately your business is positioned to really be successful and so much more. And it does look different for every business. Like I had a client, they didn't have cash flow problems. What they had a problem with was systems. They didn't have processes and systems to really keep the business going. They had a lot of monies that were outside of the business. So we worked together to get in, you know, over $100,000 coming in last year. So working on strategies like those, I am a boy twin mom. They keep me learning and relearning. And also they have had my passion to really help those who are less fortunate, especially children. So as my business grows, I'm able to support those children who are in less fortunate situations. They don't have access to the basic rights that, you know, others have. So that is me in a nutshell. I'm always excited to connect and to learn more from business owners and to support them exactly where they are and where they need to go as well.
I like that. We're going to tweak your bio a little bit. So we're going to add pandemic proof in there. That's what we need to add to your bio. Yes. I saw all those other things.
We saw a lot of that last year where some businesses were just not ready for this.
What are some ways that you taking notes, Bailey? What are some ways a business needs absolutely to do to make sure they're ready?
So one of the things is how risky you are. And when persons think of risk, a lot of times they think of the actual type of business you have. For example, are you just into, you know, let's say you're probably just selling food, or are you, you know, doing something that's perceived as much, much more riskier? But when we look at
website design.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at risk, we're looking at the components of the business. So for example, a lot of businesses, what they found, especially from last year, was that they were relying on a major customer or client for most of their business. It's called a gorilla account. So that means that, for example, 80 or 90% of your revenue is coming in from one person or two persons. That is very risky. So if that person goes down, your business is left, you know, exposed, and you never know. So there's so many components of risk. So that is one of the things you need to assess as a business owner. How are you really operating? Who are you relying on to get your monies from, your revenue, your sales, right? Also, it can look at, you know, from the financial aspect, how prepared are you for fraud? We can never eliminate fraud, but we can minimize it. So in terms of processing your transactions, access your system, how are you? And a key one that I find is business owners, especially where you have one person being the founder, the owner, they are operating their business in their head. So if something happened, they got sick, or even if they died, or, you know, life happens in several different ways, their business could not continue. And that is very scary. So they're operating their business. They do not have, you don't have a succession plan or an exit strategy. If you were out of your business for a few weeks, things would go down. So nobody would know what happened. So one of the ways to mitigate that is definitely to have systems and processes in place so that if you're not around, your business could still continue. Persons could understand what to do, and your be more value in that, because if an investor approaches you, they want to see, okay, I'm buying an actual business, not everything in your head, right? So getting into areas like that for sure will minimize your likelihood to go down after pandemic.
That's right. So Bailey, we want to reduce your likelihood to go down after a pandemic, but you got to answer these questions. Kurt, you want to ask the questions? You good at questions? No?
Sure. I'll ask a question or two. Krisha, for your businesses, do you deal with more small businesses up and coming, or do you deal with more corporates, and are they brick and mortar based, or are they more online?
It's a mixture. I'm able to support the businesses where they're at. So it's a mixture. I'm able to support you're just starting up, because even those just starting up, a lot of times businesses are just starting and they're like, oh, I'm not ready for this, I'm not ready for that. But that is the time to lay that foundation, right? Because your business is going to grow and you don't want to have that sudden influx of revenue. And then you're like, oh no, I can't manage it. What should I do? I don't understand what to do with all these changes. So it is always important from day one to have key conversations and key guidance to have things set up in the right way. And of course, as your business grows, your processes, your systems will need to grow as well. So that's quite okay as well, for sure.
Yes, excellent question. Kurt Bailey?
I love how you included that they need to plan for the success ahead of time and be prepared for that. Because I tell business owners all the time, like, if you have to set your business up for the growth and success before you think you're even close to getting to that point, because you're going to get there way quicker. And if you don't have all these things automated, or you don't have the support on the back end, then you're going to hit that brick wall and the bottleneck whenever you get there, and you won't be able to blossom into the big business that you're like becoming, because you have to take a step back and set those systems up and prepare yourself. So I love that you mentioned that. And then also, I wanted to say, you mentioned about high risk and diversifying your business, that you don't have like 80% of your portfolio. And I thought that was interesting, because I read The 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. Have y'all read that one?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, I love it. It's great. But in his book, he says, like, one of his things was focus on, if 80% of your revenue is coming from this one business and the rest is kind of a pain to you, just drop them and focus on where your main, like, majority of your revenue is coming, and get that money and just save the extra time and enjoy it for yourself. And so I guess it's kind of finding that balance between doing that, but then also being pandemic proof and preparing yourself for the crazy was to happen and have that backup for in case.
And in that book, what it's saying is that, for example, if you're a plumber, yes, you might, there are different things a plumber can do. They can do the services, they can sell the parts, they can, you know, train apprentices coming up. So what that means for a plumber is that if you're finding that most of your monies are coming in from actually doing the service, you're actually going to focus on that. But in focusing on that, you need to ensure that you don't have one main customer, one main client. That's what it really means. Because if that's the case and something happens to that client, your business is left so exposed. You're like, okay, well, I need to be getting more client, you know. So it's really looking at where you're getting the sources of your cash from, your revenue. What is that coming from? Are you at how risky is that if that source was cut off today?
But you also don't want to neglect all of the training of your employees, because if you have those businesses coming in and you don't have enough the ability to supply that demand, you also are going to lose out on that, and you can't carry the world on your shoulders by yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what do you do to build your team, Kurt?
So right now we are a team of two, myself and our co-founder, Dave. And what we're doing is we are subject matter experts in chemistry. So we're focusing on our chemistry development right now in our topics. We want to expand to other into the other STEM fields. So you want our technology, engineering, mathematics, and we want to build and reach out to fellow educators who are also subject matter experts and bring them on board to help create modules. So we have our framework and we want to integrate their topics to build success with these remote learning environments that we are seeing more and more come up today. And we have applied for grants so that we can increase the dual nature between the college and the high school curriculums. So we are in the process of creating a general chemistry module within the next few months that will be able to be used by our undergraduates at the college level, as well as the up and coming AP chemists in high school, to build that bridge transition between high school and college in the STEM fields.
Okay.
Is it y'all teach, you and your co-founder, that are teaching all the classes, or is it going to be something where you expand and you start having, say, college kids or other professionals in the industry teaching some of those classes?
We are currently developing webinar series that will go over specific portions of topics in a course. And we eventually want to expand, like you said, to bring in other industry experts or other educational experts to expand our knowledge and to basically make an affordable product for kids. Because myself, I've bootstrapped my own education, and I know the price point that you have to take on that debt, to take on that risk, to get that. And we want to translate that. We want to give you a supplemental material for a lower price. That way, the cost of your education does not outdo your cost of living. So be thriving in both scenarios.
Okay. So Kurt, a question I have is, I found that there's a greater demand for educating the younger and the younger and younger generation. So I've been asked to do courses, you know, workshops from time to time, educating younger persons, even from elementary age. Do you find that you're seeing a change with the dynamics and the demand, where you might have to be start offering services or, you know, education for those even at the elementary level? How is that? How are you seeing that play out?
Okay, so the going back to the hybrid nature of the online versus in-class, so you wanting to engage the students to help them retain the information. And as you get younger and younger and younger, you're going to need to have more interactive environments, so more games, more activities. And while we are developing that, we are still focused in the high school and college level, because our content is not adequate for the elementary level. But yes, we would eventually see a need to go into the younger ages to increase the or inspire them to learn and to retain the information.
Yeah, and I can see, because I lectured at university before, and I usually do a survey to find out from the students, how do you like to learn? And I found that a lot of them, they liked games and interaction. So I was, you know, thinking of different games to get the information out. So I can see that. Do you find, though, that with games, is it more hands-on, like using objects, or is it more internet-based with the games? How are you finding that, you know, response?
So we have multiple styles of games, which is evolving of how you learn. So we have, going back to like our memory games, our drag and drops, our sequences, those are if you learn by building, or do you learn by moving items around a board. Those are the more educational based, so more theory, put them in the right order to show you the roadmap. However, we also have our interactive games, so like our platformers, which you are immersed into a Mario type game, like I was writing it up earlier, where you run around and you're in this environment, you're gaining points by solving the answer correctly over and over and over again. So it gives you that repetition, but not in a book format. So it's giving you the different looks to hopefully make that learning process easier and help you retain it longer.
Okay, thanks.
So Bailey, Kurt's in front of you. He's a new potential client. He wants to expand, reach more people, educate more students, make this world a better place. I'm his PR rep, by the way. That's that PR voice.
You're doing great.
Good job.
It's Friday. Bailey, how are we going to do that?
So I guess, have you done any work of really establishing your brand yet? Or is that something you're focusing on? How are you marketing yourself?
We are marketing on our social media, so Facebook, Instagram. We have we're looking at ads in Google and Facebook, trying to basically branch out through social media. We're doing talk shows like this. We want to basically get our name out there. We're not this myth of a company that, oh, we're giving you this education, but we also are making it fun. Whereas you have the comparative, oh yeah, here's a book, here's a video, go on there. And we want to capitalize on that. And we want to also expand on the accessibility of our products. So we want to not only have options for the up and coming people, but if you want to have like change in text, colors, brightness, you're not, we want to give you the ability to customize your own experience using our apps. And we want to basically make that known. And any advice you could give would be extremely helpful.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I think it's great that you have a story behind it and your vision and your values and like why you started this business. Cause I think that's some, that's one of the areas where people fall short sometimes. And they just think, okay, I want to start a clothing boutique. And then they don't have any reason, or they, cause what gets people to buy ultimately, what your brand is that emotional response that people have with your company. And to have that emotional response, they have to have some type of interaction and some type of story to relate to with that. And so I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs have this misconception that their branding is getting a logo and paying however much money for a professional to make your logo. But I like to like make the analogy of having a logo is basically like having a Monopoly dollar. And it looks like a dollar. It looks like it's something that should be able to buy you something and have value, but it doesn't have that goal backing it up. And so your logo is basically the Monopoly dollar. And if it doesn't have the brand backing it up, the gold, then it doesn't actually have any value behind it. And so I think it's great that you had that story, because that's a lot of things, or that's a lot of times what people forget is they don't have the brand backing it up to support it.
Well, I just have to, we're in the middle of this client meeting, we're making deals, but I have to ask Bailey, how did you learn all this stuff? I mean, you can't be, I don't, you know, want to offend anybody, but you don't seem like you're over 30. Like, how did you learn all of this stuff?
So I went to school, my undergrad in marketing. And so I learned about the brand process and what makes a brand through that. And then I love reading. And so I read a lot of books, business books, and mostly on the marketing side and the branding side, because that's what interests me and that's what fuels my fire. So I feel like I've learned a lot through that. But I did marketing and then I went to grad school, and I actually did that last year. So I am fresh out of school. I got my master's in business administration there. And so I learned more about that, and then more about actually what powers a business, more on the like more all encompassing of what makes a business work and how it all pieces together to make a successful business.
You go. Goes to you. I am impressed. Okay, back to the meeting. We back to helping Kurt. So one of the questions that Bailey didn't ask, because I'm good at questions. I like questions like you, Kurt. But when you were talking about the social media and you post on social media and you utilize social media, how do you set up your social media posts? How do you come up with your social media posts? What do you really talk about? What do you say?
So right now we're focused on grabbing relevant topics in science to, so like from Science Daily, where we find an interesting news article, we write up a blog, make a couple images about it and try to gain interest in that. And we're slowly shifting towards from general topics to more of our specialized content. And we always give every once in a while motivational quotes just to make sure everybody could get through the day and keep continue with that learning process. And we're not alone.
Do you have, if I may ask, what platform is your main area of gaining business?
Our main area right now really is Facebook right now, outside of our own website that we are trying to push outreach to.
Yeah, Persia, what about you? I've seen you on Instagram.
I'm finding that my main platform is LinkedIn, then Instagram, then Facebook. Yeah, I found that. But another question I had, though, Bailey, was branding is such a huge umbrella. And I find that there are different schools of thought on the process. Like some persons will say, don't think about a website. You're just starting out. Focus on getting a client in, other persons will say, don't get too obsessed with social media and the likes and the posts, because there's no, there was even a study that was saying with the content you post, it's hard to really track if it converts to a client, to a customer, mm-hmm. to money. So what are you finding with all these different views and research? What are you finding is that sweet spot that really works, especially with business owners, I guess at any level, just starting out, and even if you're not started, just starting out, what is really worth focusing on then?
Yeah, so I think the first step is definitely not the website, because you won't have anybody to go to your website if you haven't already established yourself. And I tell people that all the time, because I think a lot of new business owners kind of use that as an excuse. It's their way of procrastinating, like, oh, I can't start yet because my website just isn't ready, or it doesn't look good, so I can't start. I say, no, you can start, just you don't need a website right now, especially with social platforms today, like the LinkedIn and the Facebook, Instagram. If you can build your personal brand on there, you can DM people and sell that way. You don't have to have a website to send people to. And I know now they have little links through LinkedIn or through Instagram for sure, that people can click on the links to book a call with you, and you don't need a website. So I preach that you need to build your brand first and your business and establish yourself, and then worry about a website. The website's important, but the first part is the branding of that and establishing your core values. I like to say the four pillars that you build your business and your brand off of are going to be, let's see, the passion. There's two P's in a V: the passion, the people, the value, and the vision. And so you have your passion, your why did you start the business? And that's your story behind your brand and why people should buy from you, why you are different from everybody else, and what makes you so much better. And then the people, you need to focus on who your problem is or who your solution is meant for. And so niche it down as much as you can to figure out exactly who needs your services and what their main pain points are, and then speak directly to that. Because a lot of people focus on talking to everybody, and whenever you talk to everybody, you don't resonate with anybody. And so focus on your small group, and then you're going to resonate with them. And even if that's 10 people to begin with, you only need one to sell your service. And so those are the first two. And then the vision. The vision is important whenever you first start your business, because you need to know where you want to be 5 years from now or 10 years from now. You don't want to brand yourself so much that you put yourself in a pigeonhole and you say, let's say you wanted for Kurt, for your business, you pigeonholed yourself and you said, okay, we're gaming for chemistry, learning chemistry. And then 5 years down the road, you could expand because you have the systems in place now to where you could expand to all of these different STEM sectors, but you pigeonholed yourself to, and you named your business, which you didn't, but say you named your business like gaming for chemistry, I don't know, something like that. And so you pigeonholed yourself. So it's good to have the vision of where you're going before you get there. That way you can build your brand around that and have the path in mind. And then the last one is going to be the values. And so really knowing what you stand for, and you establish that before you start. That way, once you get into the thick of it and they have these dilemmas that come up, because in business, at school, we always learn about the ethical dilemmas, and there's no black, or there's black and not black and white, there's a gray area. And so when you have these values that you stand for before you get into it, and then that, if you have those four pillars established before you start, you'll be able to really grow and thrive into a big business.
Yeah, okay. I hear you. I want to go back to something you said, Bailey. And I think I just want to polish something that you said, just for the audience. And I think part of you saying it is because you're a nice person, you're a sweet person. And as nice people, what we tend to do is we don't want other people to feel like we're pushing business off on them, or that we're making them feel like our service or our business is a necessity. But your business is a necessity, Bailey. People need websites. There are so many people who believe that they could just operate a business from social media. And one of the things that I talk about, and I start is off with the question, are you operating a business or are you operating a hustle? And it's, there's no judgment, but those are two different things, two completely different things. If you want to hustle it, hustle it. That's good. You can make some money off of it. Yeah, but if you're in business, a business requires exactly what you offer, Bailey. And I would go forward with that confidence of knowing and saying, yes, you may not be able, you may not have the resources today to be able to work with me, but because of what I can offer you and the doors that I can open for you, do it as soon as possible. Do it immediately. Let's get this website design going, because I can tell you right now for a fact, and you probably don't even remember it or recall it, but when you went to the website, all of you, and scheduled your appearance for the roundtable talk show, there was a required field that said, what is your website? And that's the one thing that I review before allowing anybody to be a guest on the show, is their website. Because mm-hmm. anybody can go to Instagram and put up an Instagram account mm-hmm. or Twitter or Facebook or wherever and create this person. But if you have a website, that's something that people can verify and say, okay, they actually have a business. And so often people don't even realize and understand that they have lost business that they didn't even know they lost. And part of that is if they say they're in business and somebody goes to Google them and they can't find their website, that person may not feel that trust and they go, okay, well, let me find somebody else to design my website. So I didn't want to contradict you, Bailey. I just wanted to polish it a little bit and say, look, if you need a website and you operating off of Instagram right now, call Bailey. Please call Bailey today. And whatever she charges, whatever it is, pay it, because then you're actually in business. But I cut you off, Kirsha. What were you going to go ahead and say?
I wanted to elaborate a bit on, ask Bailey to elaborate a bit on something she said about persons buying from those who you trust, with, you know, the relationship, yeah. not to niche down. I find at times that there's a gray area there, and you can, you know, comment after I've done that. For example, when we look at some of these influencers, they have niched down, they're talking to everybody. You know, they are talking to everybody and they're getting business. However, on the flip side, for those sometimes who are not yet at, you know, certain advanced stage, persons will say, don't talk to everybody. So how do you make that distinction? Should you really talk to everybody, or is it just like a myth? Because some persons will say, you buy from those who you trust, but to be honest, trust takes time. So you might see, like, for example, Richard Branson, you know, some of those influencers, you don't have a relationship with them based on their brand. And you say, okay, I'll take, you go with them, right? But you don't really have that deep relationship. Or so how do you help your clients maneuver through that process?
Yeah, so I want to start with thank you for pointing out that they do need websites, Sharifa, because they do need websites. Don't get me wrong on that. Just don't use that as an excuse to not start. That's where I was going with that. But website's great, especially you don't want to have all your customers on social media, because you don't own that platform and you don't own those followers. If Instagram or Facebook were to disappear tomorrow, how are you going to reach those people? So
that's right.
Going into that.
Trump figured that out the hard way.
Yeah, you need your website. And then going into, you're saying that the bigger influencers seem like they speak to everybody, but yes. If you think about, so I don't know who's your favorite influencer. I might know them.
There are a lot of them. I follow, there's Nicole Walters. There's a lot of them.
Yeah. You know? So I'll speak specifically one of my favorite influencers. Sorry, what?
No, there's so many of them.
Yeah, there's so many.
There's so many, yeah.
But even the ones with these huge platforms. So say Sarah Blakely is one of my favorite entrepreneurs. I love her story and everything about her, and I follow her on her platforms. And even her, she has millions of followers. But whenever she speaks, I feel like she's speaking directly to me, because she knows that a majority of her audience are female entrepreneurs or female-driven driven women that want to start a business and that, like, care about that entrepreneurial journey. And so even though she has all these followers, she still knows her niche, and she knows who's following her and how she can provide them value. So it's not even the people with all these followers, it might seem like they're speaking to everyone because they have these millions of followers, but if you really look at it, their followers are all in a specific niche most of the time. And Gary Vee speaks to, it seems like, everybody, because he has such a huge audience, but he speaks to people that are business-minded, who want to improve themselves and care about self-development and marketing. And so even though it seems like they're speaking to everybody, they have focused in on that niche, and they've just gotten so into that niche that everybody in that niche is wanting to be a part of their community. And so they have it. I still, like, everybody, whether you're starting or you're in years into your business, you still need to have that niche and really figure out who is following you and what they're having a problem with and how you can address those pain points.
I love it. I love it. Excellent answer. I'm going to tag on to Bailey. We're going to tag team today. Get some information out. You had your turn. My turn. Tap in. Okay. I would add to what Bailey was saying is this excellent response, though. An excellent question. One of the things that I always say to new clients, because that's a common question that they ask, is I always tell them to focus on finding your voice. What is your voice? Who are you authentically? Because when you think about it, not everyone likes apples, not everyone likes oranges, not everyone likes pineapples. So if you're somebody who's trying to talk to all these people, it's not going to work. Find out who you are, and then the people who like that will follow you. That's why they are called followers. You have to be moving in order for them to follow. And so the people who are attracted to that voice, and exactly like what Bailey said, over time, you'll see those are the same exact type of people. And you'll be able to look at your demographics and say, okay, well, there are women over 40 or, you know, but any company, it doesn't just have to be influencers. They always talk to a specific group. I'll give you an example. Billions, trillions, I don't know how many people drink Coca-Cola. But if you actually watch their commercials, they're targeted towards teens. That's their specific audience that they're reaching out to drink Coca-Cola, to be a part of the Coca-Cola movement. It's always upbeat, you know, and that's who they're going after. But they don't care if Kurt drinks a Coke. You know what I mean? They'll take that money from him. But we, none of us are their target ideal market. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Did we answer your, our team together, yes. Answer your question, Kirsten?
Yes, thank you, Edith.
Any other questions that you need Bailey to answer?
Now, Bailey, for my company, one of our mottos-
You said back to me. Sorry, I said you said back to me. Like, let's get back to my company, my brand.
Oh, sorry.
No, so, go ahead.
One of our mottos is everywhere learning matters. We want to basically make this a learning experience for all ages to reach out to everybody. Now, being branding, how much do we want to lean into social media versus our website, like SEO versus hashtags? Like how would you expand on that?
I definitely think from the beginning, I mean, SEO is very hard to get built. Hopefully you've started doing that already. Because it takes months and years to really build that SEO strategy to where you have your website structured in a way where all the meta tags, headers are all working to get Google to read your page better. And so that takes time. And so definitely right now where you're at, social media should be your number one driver. And you should spend a ton of your energy on social media and trying to reach those clients. But like, what was the second part of the question? I got lost.
Oh, that was it. Just SEO versus hashtags versus how to brand our image or brand our saying.
So. Yeah. And then for like social media strategy, one thing that would help, or I guess I rely on pillars a lot because I told you about the brand pillars, but the social media content pillars, focus on like, think of your LinkedIn or your Facebook as a pie chart. And think of the four different things that you want to focus on. So whether that's learning a certain subject or your motivational quotes, your entertaining, think of four different pillars that you want to, like how you're going to provide value to people. And then everything you post should fit into one of those pillars. And if you stay focused on those four pillars, then your people are going to know what to expect from you and what they come to you for. And so they'll have a better idea of your business. And then that also helps. I like to say like, some people get on social media and they spread themselves so wide. And so they want to address all these different things. Like whenever I started, I wanted to do websites, brands, graphics, like there were so many things. And so whenever you do that, you're building all these bridges and they're going every direction, but you're not able to focus your efforts on anything. And so these bridges aren't leading to anywhere and you keep building and you're just building in different directions. So whenever you narrow that down and you focus on these three or four pillars that you want everything, this is what you're really trying to sell in the beginning. When you focus on those, you can actually build a bridge and get you to the other side where they're going to give you that money and you're going to be able to grow your business.
Yeah, I like that. I'll give you my thoughts if you like, Kurt, on the question.
Please.
This is my phrase. SEO to me is like the Loch Ness Monster because to a certain extent, it doesn't exist. I built my first website in 1994. People have been sold on this idea that if I SEO it and SEO it and SEO it and SEO it, that at some point I will make the sales. And it's true only to a certain extent. And that extent is this: once you have optimized your website, it's optimized. You know, what you want to do there is focus on SEM. search engine marketing. You want to focus on direct traffic, because what happens with direct traffic and PPC advertising and social media advertising is that direct traffic pushes visitors to your website. And there are only three things that the top three things that search engines look for as far as ranking is, number one, it's time. How long your website has been around. They're never going to give preference to a fly-by-night site that just started. Over time, you'll build that reputation. The second thing is going to be your website visitors, because if website A does exactly the same thing that website B does, and website A has 2 million visitors a day, and website B has 2 visitors a day, the algorithm, which is not a person, it's just doing if-then statements, says, if this site is more interesting to people and they visit it, it most likely is then a better website than B, and so they move it up. The other thing that they look at is the amount of time your visitors spend on your website. They take a look at your bounce rate. So when people say, oh, I got a bounce, it means the same thing. When they get to your website and they bounce quickly, it means they got there, didn't like what you were talking about, didn't want to explore further, and then they go away. And so the longer they stay on your website, the more people who visit your website, the longer your website is around, the higher your search engine ranking is going to be. I've seen people cause more damage trying to fix SEO than anything, because what happens is they may not even know which words on their website rank, and they've been around, they think nothing's happened, they're not getting visitors or traffic from their website, and so they delete a page, and then all of a sudden nobody's visiting. You know, so I would optimize it as best as you can. Hire somebody if necessary. I don't know if Bailey does that, but go in and optimize it. Then focus on creating content. I always ask this question. Kurt likes questions. Have any of you ever Googled anything?
Yes.
Yes.
Every day.
Bailey, have you?
Another question I have.
Okay. So what is the number one website that usually comes up organically first? I'll wait.
Depends on what I'm looking for.
Does it really? Usually the number one website is Wikipedia. Mm. It comes up at the top for a reason. It's content driven. It's no ads. That's why every time you go to Wiki, they begging for money. They be like, can you please send us $5?
Give me a dollar. $1.
$1, please. We just try to stay in business and keep our employee. If I'm making this up, I mean, I'm telling you what I see.
Yeah.
And it's because it's content. So if you focus on creating more content and articles, Google figures you're really trying to help people and provide information as opposed to e-commerce. E-commerce is always going to rank lowest, period. So once I have optimized the website, I will focus on the hashtags, because hashtags are going to get you the immediate results to get them to visit the website, which is going to increase the traffic. And I went way over, I got on a soapbox, but it's Friday. And that's what I tend to do, is since we was having a Q&A today instead of a round table, hey, I just went with it. But this has been such a pleasure. We are coming down to the last. Did that help you any, Kurt?
Oh, I'm thankful for this. Thank you very much, Bailey, Gershon,
Sharifa. You are welcome. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Kurt.
Well, thank you everybody for listening. And if you want a more engaging, robust educational experience, you need that supplemental learning, please go to our website, pedaffle.org, and see how we can help you expand your knowledge base. And if you want to look to partner, please send us an email so that way we can interface and make education available to everyone.
I have a question, Kurt.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a partnership link on your website?
We do.
Okay, Kurt. That's sure. What I'm talking about. Make it happen, Kurt. I like you. Kirsha, what do you have for us?
I want you to know, as business owners, and this depends, it doesn't matter if you say you're in business for a profit or not for profit, that ultimately your business, your company will not survive without cash flow. So keep your eyes on the cash flow. We need oxygen as humans. Your business needs cash flow to survive. It's a lifeblood of your business. So that is definitely what I want you to remember in all the decisions that you make. Keep your eyes on your business number. Get that support that you need. It's not just about filing your tax returns at the end of the year. You need to know what's happening in your business throughout the year. So I encourage you as business owners to really think about the importance of your business, right? It is so important. Think about why you started. It deserves that attention. It deserves that expertise to really take it to greater levels. And as your business grows, you're able to support and help so many other persons, right? Family, strangers. So definitely think about if your business is not around, the world is so much more different. It's not the same. So do all you can to ensure your business remains cash positive and is successful.
Absolutely. I love that. I always tell myself, this is something I push myself, not for everybody, but I tell myself, Sharifa, you're no good to anyone broke, right? So I tell myself that because I'm like, I got to do it. I got to help the people and I'm no good to anyone broke. So we got to get this money, right? That's why you, the audience who is listening, is about to go build your website. Because Bailey's going to take care of that for you. What do you have for us, Bailey?
Yeah, so first I'm going to start off being my hype woman that I am and say that if you want to start a business, you don't have one yet, but you have an idea and you have a vision, start. It's never going to be the right time. The perfect time doesn't exist. You have to make it the perfect time. And if you see that opportunity in front of you, reach out and grab it and then run with it. And if you need help running with it, you can come to me to get your brand and website intact. You can find me at honeywavecreative.com or I hang out on Instagram a lot. So if you're on Instagram, come find me there. It's at honeywavecreative and I will get you help. And if you do want help with your brand and website, if you use the code roundtable, you'll get 10% off of your brand and website. So that's available to all of you, but I think you all got this. If you have the idea, go for it and you can do it. I believe in you and I will help you get there.
Yes, we got us a hype woman back there believing in us. Yes, I love it. This has been an entertaining, wonderful way to close out a Friday, close out a show, close out a week. This has been a lot of fun. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch this show live, as well as everyone who is watching it from the archives. But like I always say, please don't just watch the show. Please don't just share the show. I appreciate that, but please support our guests. Our guests were here with you this morning to share their stories, their business, their journeys, their tips, their strategies. Please support them. Their website link is in the Facebook post, but as always, don't just visit their website. Follow them on social media. Reach out to them. Send them a message. And when you do, please let them know. Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to be a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show, please visit my website at asksharifa.com. Until Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, everyone have a safe and a blessed weekend. Bye now.
Bye. Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.